Kia ora, you are listening to The Burnt Breakfast Show right here on RDU 98.5. Now, do you remember Red Mole? Maybe not. Some of our older listeners might. Anyway, Red Mole was quite the infamous theatre troupe back in the 70s and 80s. And they're about to have a documentary released about them at select theatres across the country. And I'm absolutely delighted to be talking to the director of said documentary right now, Annie Goldson. Good morning, Annie.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on my show. I have so many questions. This just sounds fascinating. But I guess the best place to start really is, can you tell us a little bit about Red Mole?
Well, Red Mole emerged really from the University of Auckland English Department, manifest through a chap called Alan Brunton, who was kind of a young radical poet who took on the more established poets of the English department and then, you know, turned his back on academia. He got together with Sally Rodwell, and I think they have links to your area, actually. And she was sort of a theatre mad doctor's daughter, and they got together and formed something called Red Mole and brought in a group of other talents with them, critically Deborah Hunt and John Davies, and then it's just something that just clicked with this group of individuals. So they, you know, they were kind of outlandish. Their theatre included nudity and fire eating and poetry and dance and rock
music.
Wow,
gosh.
So really at a time in New Zealand when, you know, theatre was very much your imported script from England.
Mm.
And so they really kind of, they were political, you know, they were part of the counterculture, so they took on Robert Muldoon with various parodies. If people remember Robert Muldoon, who was the Conservative Prime Minister at the time.
Mm.
So yes, they and they were a bit like a travelling theatre, really. They travelled up and down the Motu, up and down New Zealand, and so we'll have visited your fair region, I'm sure, many times. So it's partly sort of a history of Red Mole, but it's partly quite a personal story because there were lots of things. There was polyamory, there was kind of a queer angle to the group, there was just a complete workaholic mentality. You know, they worked on shoes, but still produced these amazing masks and costumes. But they went to New York in 1981, which was pretty rough then too. New York, it was sort of the AIDS epidemic, the crack epidemic. Ronald Reagan was conducting wars in Central America.
So
it was full-on city at the time, because I lived there too, actually, full disclosure here.
Oh, wow.
So they just sort of, they managed to quite good critical attention in New York, but then they just sort of burned out. The pressures of the city, I think, was too much. So there is a sort of personal journey woven through the film by a younger woman, the daughter of the founders. Kind of a mixture, kind of a theatre history, but also quite a poignant personal story.
Yeah, well, I have to say, it sounds absolutely fascinating. How do you go about making a film like this, or even deciding to make a film like this? Do you remember Red Mole?
Well, you know, full disclosure here, I didn't know them. I was going out with a dancer who was a more peripheral member of Red Mole.
Oh, yeah, so right.
I was working as a reporter for Radio New Zealand, actually, and I decided to go to New York with them in 1981. So I always said I was kind of the ideal person to make the film because I knew them well enough. A total inner circle. You know, our paths diverged once we got to New York after a year or so, but I did know them pretty well for a bit there. And so it's always been nagging at the back of my mind because I don't think we're very good in this country at doing our history particularly.
Yeah, right, right. Interesting.
The film is also a sort of social history of New Zealand, very much a look at the counterculture that was very active, you know, and that had kind of beliefs and positions that, you know, haven't gone away. You know, they were all environmentalists. They were living as hippies in the countryside. They were anti-nuclear, anti-war. You know, there was a lot of contradictions around probably particularly around gender. But you know, I think a lot of young people are drawn to Red Mole because the contradictions haven't gone away. They just went into abeyance for a while. You know, the politics did. But
Yeah, right.
So, you know, and there's also something about how material their practice were. They made, as I say, they made beautiful masks and badges and costumes. You know, they did hand-painted posters. So very different from the online world that prevails today, actually.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like they're a bunch of quite extraordinary performers. I guess the nature of covering a group like this is you can't really help but explore society and politics at the time, can you? Just simply because, yeah, they were involved in politics and society at the time. I guess it was a detail you can't avoid.
No, well, that's right. They sort of at their base, they were, you know, political satirists as well. You know, politics. And, you know, it's quite interesting. They arose in the last days of the Kirk government, the Labour government of the 70s. And then, and Kirk shared some of the beliefs of the counterculture. In other ways, he was a more conservative chap, but he was anti-nuclear. He, you know, he started something called the Ohu Scheme, which gave land to hippies that wanted to try and, you know, make a go of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there were things about Kirk that resonated. So they came to be in the Kirk era, but then Kirk died, Labour lost the next election, and Robert Muldoon got in. It was kind of all over.
Yeah. I mean,
he loathed everything that Red Mole represented.
Yeah, ritual.
So, and then things took a darker turn. You know, it was no longer flowers being handed out in the park. The drugs got, you know, harder. People got, you know, more cynical. And to some degree, Red Mole reflected that increasing sort of harshness. So, yeah, so it is a social history too. Yeah, you're quite right.
There's a really interesting sentence in the press release that mentions Red Mole is a powerful social and cultural history about a group of talented, unconventional and political performers that this country somehow incubated. And I find that detail really interesting. Is that something you go into much detail about? You know, like the incubation, I guess the isolation that comes with being from New Zealand?
Yeah, well, there was something about Red Mole. They were quite fearless in a way, and they were quite individual. They were quite DIY. You know, so New York, yeah, they're quite naive in a way, too. You know, they did well in New York for a while because people found them, you know, it's such a different scene in New York.
You know, yeah, I'm sure.
Theatre over there was very minimalist. People would rehearse every day for a year. But Red Mole was sort of like a circus. It was all incredibly last minute with these props and costumes and music. And, you know, there was something kind of joyous as well as revolutionary about them. But there was something peculiarly Kiwi about them too, actually, I felt. You know, the resourcefulness, you know. All of them, including me, all had to work in New York, kind of, because none of us had green cards. So,
yeah, right,
you know, Sally and Deborah were dancing in strip clubs. All the guys seemed to do construction. You know, Martin Edmund wrote pornography.
Oh, my gosh, wow.
We made a living because it was, you know, no one was legal. But theatre and living was expensive. So, you know, there was something fearless, naive, but quite sophisticated in a way that I think does make me think there's something about the New Zealand character in them.
How did making this documentary, did it change, like, your personal relationship with, or like personal outlook on what Red Mole was?
Well, yes, because I did a deep dive, really, so I learnt quite a lot too. So the way I did it, the amazing thing is Red Mole never really had any money, and the key founders moved around a lot, but they managed to amass a huge archive, which was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, wow.
Scripts and masks and posters. And luckily for me, I teach at the University of Auckland, and luckily for me, the entire archive was given to the University of Auckland Special Collections. So
wow.
I had access to it, and it was amazing. So I did interview the surviving members. Not everyone survived, and that's part of the story. You know, and then a few commentators. So I kind of wove the backstory of Red Mole with this extraordinary archive, and then, as they say, with this poignant personal story, which is about, you know, darker mental health issues, actually. So I was really lucky with the archive. But, you know, any documentary is an incredible learning curve, about a topic. You know, you just get, you know, I know far more about people's situations than I know about my own.
Do you think today we could have a group like Red Mole? Do you think it would work?
Well, there are groups that sort of pay some homage to Red Mole. You know, Red Mole has a bit of a revival in the theatre schools and things, and certainly some theatre people know well. I have to admit, I'm not a sort of theatre historian, so I think it would be really interesting for someone to trace their influence and look at Red Mole's legacy and how it's arisen, you know, in newer groups and things. But that's partly what I said, you know. I think young people are so much bound up in the online world. It's harder for them to have that, you know, material kind of performance practice.
Yeah, right.
Do it. I mean, that's Barbarian, Western, and there's a few around, I think. So, I'm thinking, I mean, part of the reason I did it, I felt that these histories can just disappear, and we're not very good at capturing them. You know, documentary, like all media, is quite a commercial world, so it wasn't an easy film to make because there wasn't really any money around, you know. So, filmmaking is always cost. So I'm just lucky to have the archive, and I was lucky enough to be in a position to be able to afford to make it, actually. Yeah, so I hope it will be useful to people.
Well, I mean, congratulations for making this. It can be no easy undertaking, I am sure. So, well done. And particularly as someone who is slightly younger and, you know, does not at all remember Red Mole or anything like that, thank you for telling such a interesting Aotearoa story that I think anyone of any age can kind of really engage with. For the audience, I'm going to play the trailer soon. But before we do that, there is a Q&A on this Thursday, correct?
That's right. I'm at the most beautiful cinema, the Lumiere.
Yes, it is stunning there.
Yeah. So Nick Paris invited me, which is fantastic. So, and I have a special gift for everyone who comes as well as a lure.
Oh, lovely.
I believe you're giving away a couple of tickets. Is that right?
Yes. We are going to give away a couple of tickets to the Q&A, and I am so excited for it. Annie, one more time, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's been fascinating to talk to you. I think I could talk to you all day, but I don't have the time for that, unfortunately.
I know. Well, pleasure talking to you too, and lovely to talk to the people of Otutahi, and I will look forward to seeing you soon.
Yes, thank you so much, and look forward to hearing you talk on Thursday. Have a great day.
Well, same to you.
And that was documentary maker Annie Goldson. who's just made Red Mole, a Romance, which is about to be released at select theatres across country. It sounds absolutely fascinating. I can't wait to see it.